to the NXT Podcast, your home for weekly NXT reviews and insight.
The beautiful part of NXT is that when one dream ends, another dream begins.
Find all of your NXT news, recaps, and analysis right here. So with that being said, we only have one question for you.
Are you ready?
We thought so. Let's get the show started right now.
All ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the NXT Podcast. As always, I am your host. My name is Zachary Smith, here with you on another beautiful weekday to talk about our favorite wrestling show, NXT. Not necessarily a ton happening on this episode. So we have our title match main event. That's a big deal, but in whole, it's kind of a standard episode of NXT, but still fun to talk about, and I'm excited to talk about it. Before we get started, as always, I am your host each and every week, along with my other wonderful co-hosts here on the unofficial WWE Podcast Network. You can always find me on Twitter. I am at ZachNXT. That's at ZachNXT. We're always talking about wrestling, other fun stuff over there. Before I run down NXT for you, we have our world-famous segment called News, which is news with an exclamation mark. And what it is a carefully selected and curated list of the best wrestling news that I have researched. And what it absolutely is not is me typing WWE into Google and just reading the results and reacting to them, because that would be unprofessional. But if you were going to do that, you'd see that WWE did that thing that they do where they randomly release a bunch of people that they couldn't think of good ideas for, even though they hire a bunch of writers specifically to avoid that problem. And a lot of people were questioning some of the releases and the fact that Velveteen Dream, who hasn't really appeared on TV since December, I think, not being released. Well, if you remember, Triple H said that they were doing their own company kind of investigation on Mr. Clark, Velveteen Dream, and that he had been in a car accident, and that's why he had been off TV, and they were looking into the allegations. Well, they must have found something, because he's been released. He was accused of sending inappropriate messages to minors, and I don't know that any of that was reported to the police, but it was reported with screenshots and things like that. And needless to say, that then coming onto TV and portraying the character, who's kind of a hypersexual character, not great. Not necessarily the best thing. So I think I said the last time that he was on TV that I wasn't comfortable watching while it was left unresolved, and so what I was going to do was just kind of not talk about the stuff that he was involved in. Now, if he were to have challenged Karrion Kross for the title instead of Finn Balor, then I kind of, my hands are tied on that, right? Well, it's a weird feeling, because on one hand, if, and above all else, if these accusations are true, then that's absolutely deserved, him being released. And on the other hand, you know, you have a guy who a lot of people thought was going to be one of the next guys, really young, really talented, and then this comes out and it's over, and it should be and it has to be, but it's still a crazy situation. You'd also see that WWE announces a 25-city live event plan for this summer. I believe starting in July in Texas. This here is a what we call a bad idea, and that's because people have been getting vaccinated, and that's wonderful. I don't trust the WWE to keep up with COVID protocols and be ahead of the curve on this. I just don't trust WWE enough that if I'm going to see something live, that it's going to be WWE. Not because I don't enjoy it, I do, but because I do not trust how seriously they would take it. Impact teases Daniel Bryan. I don't know if Daniel Bryan's contract is actually run out or if it's a storyline and he's just going to come back to Raw. But if Daniel Bryan or Bryan Danielson is no longer with WWE at some point, I for the life of me, I do not know why he would pick Impact when New Japan and AEW and all these shows are still around. Impact just doesn't, I mean, unless he has a bunch of people there he wants to work with, Impact doesn't seem like the move. I think I'm having trouble seeing past what I would think, and, you know, Daniel Bryan and I are different people, as it turns out. But there's no way you go right to Impact. This isn't like the mid-2000s. That's not what we do. WWE SmackDown preview, Cesaro's turn is already over after failing at WrestleMania Backlash. It doesn't look like Cesaro is in line for another Universal Championship match against Roman Reigns. Obviously. Listen, it was great that Cesaro got that main event match. He's more than earned it. He more than held his own against Roman Reigns. He absolutely could have and can still be a champion. He won't be. He's not going to be a main eventer because the WWE does not see him the same way we do. If you remember, the head of the company and the person who is often the face of the company and the voice and the vision and direction, main problem seemed to be that he didn't connect with the audience, maybe, quote, because he's Swiss or something, unquote. So that gives you kind of a general idea of the mindset that we are working with, at least from one person in the company, and that one person happens to be the one that is the final decision maker for things and thinks that Cesaro doesn't connect, and when asked about it, can only provide evidence in the form of he's Swiss. So that's the mindset we're working with. So you'll feed him to a Roman Reigns to make Roman look better, which worked, but you're not going to keep him in that position because, again, he's Swiss. And to Vince, that's a roadblock for connecting to your audience, even though he has and continues to. But we have NXT to talk about. And tonight, in our preview, we'll be getting Toni Storm versus Zoe Stark. I will bet you $1 million that Stark loses, and I bet they tell me she's a star a bunch. And our main event's going to be Johnny Gargano defending the North American title against Bronson Reed in a steel cage match. We're starting the show with the women's match. Toni Storm comes out first. Zoe Stark comes out last because she's a star. Skip, skip, skip. What do you know? Toni Storm wins. I mean, good match, but Toni was going to win the whole time. I have no problem whatsoever with Zoe Stark, the person. But, like, Zoe Stark, the character, is somebody who just loses a lot. And then they tell me that she's a star. And I see precious little evidence of that. And maybe she's a... Maybe she is... But the way she's being presented to me is not like a star. It's like a enhancement talent. So maybe we'll do something with her, but it sure doesn't seem like it. And for some reason, the end, Frankie Monet is here. The Titantron says debut next week. I still don't get it. She still has her dog, and the dog's very cute. And that is the nicest thing I have to say about the character. I'm going to be real honest, I didn't see any Taya Valkyrie stuff, so I don't get it from there. I certainly don't get the Frankie Monet stuff. I get that she's a bad guy, she's a heel, you're supposed to not like her, but it's not, oh, I really want to see her get beat up, it's, oh, I really wish she weren't on my television, because it's taken up time that, like, interesting and good characters could be taking up. She just kind of walks around with a cute dog and doesn't say anything. And has a name that we all know isn't her real name. So that's cool. She debuts next week. At least she's a good wrestler, so that should be fine. I don't know what she's going to do with the dog while she wrestles. But Earlier today, Cameron Grimes arrives at the Capitol Wrestling Center. He's trying to valet his car, but the valet tells him Ted DiBiase already has that spot reserved. And then Cameron Grimes gets mad and challenges the valet to a match tonight. We cut in Indy Hartwell and Candice are enjoying a spa day after winning the women's tag titles. Indy's talking smack about Loomis, says he just follows her around and he's crazy. They pan up and Loomis is her masseuse, as she calls him a loser. Dexter kind of walks off rejected. And that's definitely deserved. He's been nothing but a creep. He shouldn't get the girl in the end because that would be a terrible lesson. We get a preview for Balor versus Cross 2, which is going to be next week. I wonder if this will be the last Finn Balor NXT match. It hadn't really occurred to me, but at this point it feels like he's done everything that he could possibly do in NXT. So maybe someone likes him again and likes him enough to bring him to Raw or something. I mean, I guess he could be North American champion down the line or get in the tag team division, but he's already been to the mountaintop again with the NXT title, had a really good reign, and passed it down to a newer guy. So it kind of feels like he's done everything he can do. But I also saw how it went on the main roster. It went fine until he got hurt, and then not so much after that. So I hope he does whatever he wants to do, but I hope that if he goes to the main roster that they've like thought of good ideas for him. For example, they sit Karrion Kross and Finn Balor down, and they're both watching clips of their title match, both of them reacting to how brutal the match was. Kross watches himself get the coup de grace, and he says that there, he couldn't walk it off. He said, after the stomp, I couldn't lock on the choke like I wanted. It felt like he went right through me. It was a really good promo video for this match. It's a big match, and this made it feel like one. This was needed. Because before this was just kind of a thrown together thing. And Finn Balor said, I'm challenging you. And Karrion Kross said, fine. Now, they both sold really well how brutal that match was and how much it took out of them and how hurt both of them were. Karrion Kross really selling that Finn Balor stuff hurt him, and it feels like an actual prize fight. And they, of course, did the thing where, like, Pat McAfee and Paul Heyman give their predictions. I always think that they tell the people who they should pick because Pat McAfee picks Finn Balor, who's not going to win, and then Paul Heyman says he gives spoilers, not predictions, and for this one, it's too close to call. It makes it, it's a big feel fight now, where I don't know that it would have felt that way before. Now, it feels like a main event, not just a thrown together title match. It feels like a big deal with one video, and that does a lot. So, it's only now that I actually see him in the ring that I realize that that was not a valet from earlier. That was Jake Atlas, who was with Cameron Grimes. That makes more sense now. I was wondering in the first segment why the valet accepted Cameron Grimes' challenge to fight him in the ring. And now that makes more sense. Was I paying 100% attention? Absolutely not. If I had been, would that have been very clear to me? Probably. But here we are together now. Also, Jake Atlas is still here. So that's good. They're having their match. Cameron Grimes is setting Jake Atlas up to hit the cave-in when Ted DiBiase's music plays. And in fact, here he is. Cameron Grimes is distracted, and Jake Atlas hits like a springboard roll-up to win. It was cool-looking. And Ted DiBiase laughs. And Ted DiBiase laughs and walks off, and Cameron Grimes eventually runs to the back to find Ted DiBiase. But also as a performer, Cameron Grimes, the guy, also took a really long time to run back there and, like, ran walk so that he wouldn't go fast enough to actually catch Ted DiBiase, because Ted DiBiase had to walk through the back in one shot, get in a limo so that Cameron Grimes could follow him. So Cameron Grimes had to spend a lot of time mugging for the camera that he was mad and then a little scuffle with Jake Atlas, and then he had to walk run into the back to make sure he did not catch Ted DiBiase. He finally gets out there, and Ted DiBiase's in the back of a limo, and the door is locked, and he's yelling at the car, and DiBiase rolls down the window, and he says, it's not bad, kid. You're just not the $1 million man. And he laughs, and the driver drives away. These have been fun. I don't know what the end game is with these, but they've been really fun. It's been something for Cameron Grimes to do that's more character-driven, and it's always good to see Ted DiBiase. These two gimmicks are kind of perfect for each other, so that works well. It's been a lot of fun. Bronson Reed cuts a promo from inside a steel cage, saying this is the biggest match of his life. He's been waiting 14 years for this. His family's going to be watching at home. His wife is in attendance. He can finally tell his wife that they made it. All he has to do is beat Johnny and become the North American champion. That was a good video. I hadn't seen a lot of Bronson Reed in that context, like learning more about him. That was a pretty good, like, white meat, babyface, good guy promo. Cut from that to Pete Dunne being interviewed about calling out the whole roster. He talks about Johnny Gargano and Karrion Kross, our two men's champions here. He goes over his resume. He says it's pretty evident that he needs to challenge for a title. So I don't know if we're doing Karrion Kross, Pete Dunne next, if we want to have Pete Dunne lose another NXT title match, or if eventually we're going to do Pete Dunne and Bronson Reed for the North American title. Either way, Pete Dunne could absolutely be a champion tomorrow and pull it off. It seems like he's going to be dealing with Bobby Fish first, but after that, be fun to see him back in the title picture and winning a title. Interview with Bobby Fish. Bobby Fish is here 2 weeks in a row. He said last week had very little to do with Kyle O'Reilly. He said that he has a problem with Pete Dunne and Oney Lorcan. They're two of the guys that kind of precipitated the downfall of the Undisputed Era. And he says to get his pound of flesh for that, he's going to challenge Pete Dunne first. You do like the henchman first, like you'd go after Oney Lorcan first, but we're going right to the source. He tells him, Pete, turn up next week and I'll finish our business. So again, like I said last week, I don't know what we're going to do with Bobby Fish, the single star, necessarily, but he can be used to get like a Pete Dunne, a story to do for the moment and give him a really good match and somebody to beat. So that's helpful to have. I mean, he's just primarily been a tag team guy, Bobby Fish has, and also he's injured a lot, so I don't know how much they're going to do with him necessarily. But hopefully we'll get Pete Dunne and Bobby Fish. And in fact, I think later in the night, graphic comes up that says that the Bobby Fish Pete Dunne match is actually happening next week. So that works out well. That will just do it and see how the match is. And again, no earthly idea what we're doing with Bobby Fish after this, but let's see. We're back to Indy and Candace. They're finishing up the woman who took Candace's credit card to pay, comes over and says that the card got declined, and Candace says that's impossible. Indy says that's not possible. She's a women's tag team champion. And she said there's an unpaid expense on the card. Candace says, yeah, that's Austin. He orders a bunch of pizzas all the time. It's funny because he's dumb. But the woman says that it was actually a purchase made 3 weeks ago at a florist. She says, have you bought anyone flowers or chocolates from a florist? And Indy catches on, figures out that those flowers were in fact sent by Candace and not a Dexter Lumis, I suppose. And so Indy goes from mad to very excited because she's now come to the conclusion that Dexter Lumis still loves her, and she yells that two or three times and then runs off. This story is weird, and I don't like it. To review, Dexter Lumis is a creepy stalker. At best, he's a creepy stalker who set his sights on Indy Hartwell, who instead of being creeped out by him or scared or nervous, fell for him. And then Dexter fell for her. And then she liked that he would follow her around, tricked him into kidnapping her once. He thought he was kidnapping somebody that was knocked out, and she pretended to be knocked out so that she could get kidnapped. And then there's the thing with the flowers, and that's what makes Indy not want to see him, not like how creepy and unsafe he is to be around, and the kind of weird predatory behavior. And then he sneaks into a massage parlor to give her a massage, which would have to get you a restraining order in all 50 states. And then Indy finds out that Candace did that. And instead of being mad at Candace, she's really happy because now she can get her weird psycho boyfriend back. So now Dexter is mad at her because she called him a loser, and she wants to get back together because wrestling is also a romantic comedy, you see. So that's cool. I'm not going to like this story no matter what, and we're gonna continue with it, and it's gonna be bad and problematic the whole time. They cut to the announcers. They told Beth Phoenix on commentary to be really excited about this, and she's doing a good job. I cannot imagine Beth Phoenix thinks this story is as good as she pretended she did, but she's good at this. So Johnny Gargano and Austin Theory are cutting a promo backstage. Johnny says that Bronson Reed is not on his level. He said he's the best champion on this brand. He says that he left Karrion Kross lying last week, and he's going to do the same to Bronson Reed tonight. We see a shot of Hit Row arriving to the building. It's going to be Ashani, the Adonis, and Top Dollar going to have a tag match tonight. So I don't know how many matches Top Dollar has had. He's a retired NFL player and then did some other stuff, but I don't know that wrestling was in there, so I'm not sure. So Ashani, the Adonis, and Top Dollar beat an enhancement team very quickly. We really sold Top Dollar as like the big heavy, the enforcer of the group. This guy's new, but he's good at power moves. Spots for him. For a green guy, Top Dollar actually isn't a bad big man. I think you could do something with him down the road. Ashani the Adonis, we know, is a really good wrestler who was just kind of aimless in NXT. They didn't really have anything going. I don't know about the woman. Was it B? I already forgot her name. I don't know if the woman is wrestling as well, and obviously Swerve does. So you got a interesting little group here. After the match, they do a promo where they are still rapping, which is weird because now there's not even really a reason to. This is just an after-the-match promo. And like Ashani says something, and Top Dollar says something that rhymes, and then the woman says something, and then Ashani says something that rhymes. It's weird. It's odd to make them talk and rhyme all the time. Swerve finally speaks. He says he doesn't particularly care who wins the North American title match tonight, but whoever does win, just know that Swerve will have his eyes on them. So now that we know who wins, maybe it'll be Swerve going for that North American title. That certainly makes sense now. I don't know if maybe like you keep the title on Bronson Reed for a bit and then Swerve wins it, because Swerve absolutely could be North American champion. He could pull that off 1,000%. I'm not sure, but he's made it very clear that he wants to go after the North American title at some point, at least. William Regal's in the back being interviewed about some of the change is coming up. He says as much as he doesn't want, or rather doesn't agree with their methods, Legado del Fantasma are in fact number one contenders and will face MSK for the tag team titles. The women's tag title match next week is going to be Ember Moon and Shotzi Blackheart getting a shot at their women's tag team titles against Candice and Indy, getting a chance to win those back. That still doesn't matter at all. Those are jokes. He said that he's bringing in people that are new and fresh faces. He brought a bunch of people into the cruiserweight division, and he'll bring in stars to the women's division to challenge those two. So they weren't really announcements. They were things we already knew. But that's Shotzi and Ember get a shot. Legado del Fantasma get a shot. There you go. There's a graphic for Cameron Grimes versus Ted DiBiase in a $1 million standoff next week. I don't know what that means or what that is. If they just count money at each other, I don't know, but whatever it is, it's going to be fun, so I'm fine with it. I can't wait to see what that is and how bad the jokes are written and how funny Cameron Grimes makes it anyway. So, our main event is now. The steel cage is down and Bronson Reed is out first. Steel cage matches always look really cool in NXT. The lights are set up different, so it's darker setup where the lights are more focused on the cage and the ring as opposed to everything. So the cage really stands out. And when there's a crowd, it's really cool to see that shot go from lighting up the whole crowd to the lights going down, the crowd disappears, and it's just the cage and the crowd flips out. A steel cage does not look intimidating on Raw or SmackDown because of the way that they shoot it. On NXT, though, it looks like two people are about to fight each other in a cage. So Johnny is out next with Austin Theory. Austin's going to be at ringside tonight. Johnny seems real hyped up. He raises the title above his head when he gets introduced and tries to get in Bronson Reed's face, but Reed pushes him down. Johnny seems like really hype, like he's been hyping himself up for this match, and when the bell rings, he immediately gets on his hands and knees and tries to skitter out the door, which was funny. Gotta give him credit, that is funny. So Bronson Reed's the good guy, he's the babyface in this match, and he keeps trying to escape the cage. And I know that some folks think that, like, a good guy trying to escape the cage doesn't make sense, and I get that sometimes. But I think in a title match, if there's a championship steel cage match, that makes sense. If I'm Bronson Reed, I care about two things. One, I care about winning that North American title with my family watching at home and my wife in the crowd. I care about walking out of here as champion. That's one. Two, because of the trouble he's caused me, I want to make Johnny Gargano as mad as possible. So, if I pin him in the middle of the ring, that's great. I still win the title. But if he's trying to escape and I stop him and I escape, especially early on, nothing would make Johnny madder than me escaping the cage as big as I am and stealing his title away from him. Not intentionally, not like I cheated to win, but I'm going to win in the way that is going to hurt you the most. You're not going to be taken out or debilitated. I'm just going to be on the other side of the cage with your title. If I were Bronson Reed, I would be 100% fine with winning that way because that's going to make Johnny furious. So if it's a regular steel cage match, I can understand why the good guy would not be trying to escape. The whole point is we're locked in here. But for a championship match, I always thought that made sense. Maybe that's just me. So, interestingly, I was totally wrong. Bronson Reed wins. He hits a powerbomb from the second rope, and then a top rope, like, fist to the back of the neck, and then a top rope splash to pin Johnny Gargano and to become North American champion. This is the first title Bronson Reed has won in NXT. He talked a lot about this being the biggest match of his life. I didn't follow his career before WWE, but at least since he's been in WWE, yeah, it's absolutely the biggest match of his life. And he won it. It was a pretty cool little mini story. Now that he's North American champion, I want to see more of that. I want to see more of his personality, learn more about him, because I already like him more now that I've learned this about him. So it just needs to keep going. And Bronson is overcome with emotion, as I'm sure he's looking at his wife and family as, like, big sparklers go off in the background with your new North American champion. So, like I said, not a monumental episode of NXT, but a fun one. Some stories are being progressed. We've got some really good title matches coming up, and we're setting up our kind of number one contender situation. But let me know what you thought of the show. Let me know if you think we're going to get any more championship changes. I think we might get one or two. Again, on Twitter, at ZachNXT, at ZachNXT. But in the meantime, that is it for NXT, so that is it for me. I have been Zachary Smith. You have been fantastic as always, and thank you for listening.